And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember.
I missed you. You know, past week, Donna and I were in Florida. We did a lot of interesting and cool stuff. Met with a lot of people, got a lot of things decided. The entire Freedom universe is going to shift. Big names, big people, big ideas, big, and we're doing it right in the middle of big. Okay, I'm going to be sharing that with you in the third hour. So you guys stick around and you know, I'll tell you every little old thing, how it's going to affect every little old body. And it's going to be, let me see, big. Because, when I tell you something's big, is it big? Huh? Big? You know, do I exaggerate when I go big? You know, like, I give you an example. When we started the Lovolution and started doing that and so on, I could see what was happening. And it was just from, you know, while I was on vacation, Steve Neal here, he really wanted me to listen to an audio book called The Fourth Turning. And it's about a generational thing, why different generations, like, you know, over 80 years, you know, 20-year segments they do and because, and they're just designed and throughout history and it repeats, and that's why they call it revolution. I mean, you know, here we go. And we're going into, I could see why he was so adamant about me listen to this book. I'm still not done. I'm through part eight. I'm quite a ways through it. I mean, whenever I get a chance, every time I got a moment where I can actually read something, I got, like, you know, I'm reading Barry Hess's book, The Peacemonger, and I got other things to do. And I am saturated in things to do. Even when I don't have anything to do, I got stuff to do. But what's happened is there is going to be a big shift in what some of the additional projects that Freedom Phoenix has taken on. It's going to be as big or bigger than the Lovolution. I will share with you in the third hour what that is. When I say big, I don't exaggerate. People that know me, when I say that, I go, hey, you know, how many of the other times did you think I said and it wasn't going, you didn't think it was going to be and it was and bigger than and more than you thought and I couldn't express how big it was going because it was going to be big? Huh? How many times? How many times? Every time! So in the third hour, whoa, I'm going to share. And here it comes. We're going to launch a project in 6 to 8 weeks. We're going to be prepping it up to go and everything. Big. 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 One of the reasons why is what's happening here in America. In the last two editions of the e-zine, we had Should We Stay or Should We Go? And the cover was our heroine. She's managing a space station in orbit around Mars, mining an asteroid. I mean, I'm talking, when I mean go, I mean go. So that was interesting. I love that cover. You know, Athena did a great job on it. And we had a real good time with that. Good articles and everything. The next one was, okay, Where would you go? I mean, if you those that want to go, and everybody in the first magazine was a stay. They were all about no, there is nowhere to go. Fight here, man. Here we go, rock and roll and whatnot. Okay, really? Because a lot of people with resources, they just know they're on the chopping block, so they just consolidate their resources, put them somewhere else, hide them, take them, do them. You know, they're not producing anymore. The economy is going to crap. Because you want to know the future of a country. You look at what is rewarded and what is punished. You can see what's rewarded in this kind of productivity, you know, innovation, not rewarded. In fact, it's punished. What is rewarded? Sloth, dependency, You know, gimme, I need. That is rewarded. Criminal conduct, corruption, rewarded. You know, you got abusive officers of law going around beating up on, you know, the weakest of, and that's not punished. In fact, often it's rewarded. So I am, it's so certain what's coming. How do we prepare for it? Well, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to get serious about this, and it's you're going to find it fascinating. But one of the reasons why is what's happening here. And I can give you 15 gazillion examples, but today we're going to do with Fernando Antonio Salguero. Now, and Fernando, I met him in Philadelphia. You know, and a good friend of mine, James Babb, and he worked together on a lot of stuff. And for those of you that know James Babb out of Philly, associated with a lot of things. I mean, you know, Fed stock that goes on in Philadelphia. He and George Donnelly worked on WeWon'tFly.com, you know, the TSA protest and all that was responsible for a lot of changes there. Of course, they, you know, they do whatever they're going to do. But a lot of people get aware of what's going on. Fernando is always there. He's an EMT, you know, a rescue guy, volunteer fireman, and so on. But he's a Second Amendment activist, freedom activist, Fiji activist, activist. I met Fernando. He's a sincere, serious kind of guy. He's in New Jersey, and they stop him. And they go, oh, we know who you is. Let's have some fun. Felonies, charges, hours and hours, day in jail. James Babb gets it on his quick, his smartphone, talking about the whole thing. So we knew, oh, we got to find out what. And we're going to go 2 hours today with him, so we got time. Fernando, it's okay. First segment, you know, let me build it up, man. So what we're going to do is talk. Maybe we'll get James on in the second hour a little bit, and then third hour, you know, I'll share with you my big news. Now, It's interesting. Before we get to Fernando, I'm going to let him just, you know, tease you a little bit for a couple minutes into this segment, and we'll get into it. Now let him do his monologue. But I'll tell you, this is an example, exact reasons why we need to just survive the bad guy. They're going to fall. We just got to get out of the way. You know, the government is just a dying dinosaur. They're coughing up blood, laying there, writhing around, thrashing its head, swinging its tail. And what are you going to do, count coup? You know, you go up and poke a dinosaur, take a risk getting killed anyway with a slap of the tail or a gnash of the teeth? You know why? I just sit over there with binoculars. Well, all right, cool. Maybe I'll video record it. You know, why get in the middle of it? Well, some people do. You know, the victimless crime spree with Derek, you know, I'm just like, okay, you know, I see. We know. We got an update. I got 15 gazillion documentaries. Hell, they're playing on N3 right now. You know, all these documentaries, this stuff we know. Well, Fernando sure as hell knows, and he's going to go ahead and share with us. Let's go ahead. I got you there, Fernando. Let's get a sound check.
I'm here.
There you go. Okay. Now, building up, we got plenty of time. We're going to get to this. You get to tell your story. Breathe in and out. Relax. But you're concerned about your future, are you not?
I certainly am. First and foremost, before any of the other things that I am, I'm a father of two children, husband to my wife, and being locked in a pit of human misery known as the Camden County Jail, which I don't know what you know about Camden, but they've already had to...
I know it's in movies.
Well, it's... You know, it's honestly, Ernie, I've seen a lot of movies, a lot of television where, you know, prisons have been depicted. I've never, ever, ever seen anything quite like this. Camden already has a number of issues stemming from horrible, horrible systemic corruption. And they've had to get rid of their police force. And
oh, yeah,
County.
That's right. They just got rid of the... Okay, now let's go ahead. When we come back, we'll get right to Fernando and tell his story. It was a checkpoint. And what did they charge him with? Why? What was he doing? And why did they target him? Why did they have him sitting there for hours to get a warrant? They want to, oh, go get some on Fernando. Why? We're going to find out.
Rhodes. It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No roads! Well, if you're flying around, how do you get pulled over by the man? I don't know. Oh, yeah, go check it. It's called PALV, P-A-L-V. My Jetson car. It's all right, it's here. I'm on the road, I can fly, I can go in my garage and do it. PALV. It was going to happen. Get government out of the way. Nah, 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 nah. And they're going to say, nah, no, no, you're not allowed, cuz. All right, we'll see what happens. All right, now, Fernando Antonio Salguero. Now, he's going to correct me how I pronounce that. But this is the deal. Fernando is an activist, along with James Babb. And all of a sudden, now we start seeing, what's the New Jersey connection? I don't get, they're out of Philadelphia and everything. New Jersey weed man. Oh, you see my point? Do a little feed you stuff. New Jersey weed man. The prosecutors, they're like, not guilty. Somebody's got to pay, man. I mean, we got to sell. Just wait for somebody that's going to. They got to pay. You have to pay. There's no way that you can have this kind of an effect. He gets all this publicity. He gets not guilty. He goes back to California. He makes money. He's good. It's all good. No, somebody must pay. Well, Fernando is there. Hello. Let's see how he's going to pay. And this is another story for why, man, you just want to stay off the man's grid, even when you do activism. I'm stuffed. We'll talk in the third hour also about our, trash can flyers that hit CBS, and while I was on vacation, they're calling me and they're freaking out and it hit on TV here and so on. And they, there's somebody out there. This bogus Total Information Awareness Agency, and all the activists go, it's not bogus, that's part of DARPA. They actually did it, you moron. So this is, it's just, but I'm never there. I always get make sure everything happened, passed out, it's distributed. Yeah, go arrest 1,000 people that did it. It's just the way I roll. Now, the reason is because Fernando is going to be a perfect example. If you're a tip of the spear on this thing, and you don't have a broad point on this, if you got a tip, that guy. So we're going to find one, let him tell his story. Now, Fernando, I may interrupt if I think it's, don't make me have to start putting pieces together 15 segments before it all starts to come together. I mean, boom, shakalaka, get to the point and walk us through this thing. Fernando, tell me what happened.
So let's back this up, okay? Among many other things, I am a Second Amendment rights activist. And during the occupation and during Occupy Philadelphia, I and other members of Truth, Freedom, Prosperity, a local group here, truthfreedomprosperity.org, we occupied the northwest corner of City Hall. And while there was a lot of other ideologies that we don't agree with, we were out there spreading the pro-Constitution, pro-Bill of Rights, Ron Paul message, end the Fed. We were getting a lot of important messages out and facilitating conversation. We built a warming station, and we brought in 7,000 pounds of donated food over those 7 weeks that we were there. And during those 7 weeks, I open carried my Colt 45 1911 on my hip. Now, everyone thought that was illegal, but the reason I did it is because I know that it's not, and I chose to educate and empower the citizens and train the police from the top down. And that is exactly what I did. It is an open carry state here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And everyone in Philadelphia, the whole gun grabbing trend, like New York and D.C. and Chicago, that creep is coming through. Well, I'm working to stand against it because I know what the law is, even when the cops don't. So I did that for 7 weeks, open carried, and that got me a lot of attention from the FBI. The FBI began snooping even harder online. They began, my trash men actually told me that they were being ordered to pull my trash to the side so that the FBI would take it to some other location. I presume that is to engage in garbology, the science of sifting through trash.
They actually go through people's trash? Heavens a Murgatroyd. Okay.
Imagine that.
All right.
So this is germane, okay, to the situation as it's unfolding. The feds have taken quite an interest in me. But I'm squeaky clean. There's nothing for them to really hang their hat on. So fast forward a bit, I'm doing fully informed jury association outreach work, right? FIJA.org. Doing jury nullification education with the citizenry. And yes, it happened to be around the time that Ed Fortune, the New Jersey weed man, was on trial. And he, for the second time, the state of New Jersey was trying to convict him. The first time, there was a hung jury, which is one of the powerful things that a juror can do, is create a hung jury. So they tried him a second time. And the second time, he was acquitted. So that was a very big deal. And there were a lot of people that were pissed off about that. Now, on the last day, even though we'd been doing it for many, many days, the sheriff's department came and kettled us. That's a technique where they come from different angles and put everyone into one spot. They kettled us. They surrounded us from all four sides and said that we were engaging in jury tampering, which is incorrect. And it's on video and it's online. We informed them that we were not engaged in jury tampering, and that they were mistaken. So that didn't matter. They said, "Give us your ID, or we're locking you up for jury tampering," which was an illegal move on their part. So when they ran our IDs, conveniently enough, a 13-year-old traffic ticket for me making a left-hand turn on when the light went from yellow to red, I was completing my turn. I got a ticket for that 13 years ago. And to the best of my recollection, I dealt with that ticket back then. So it came up that I had this ticket and they arrested me. They put me in the Burlington County Jail. They processed me. They stripped me naked. They were going through my wallet and they found Oath Keepers cards and copblock.org cards. And so I was informing them why these organizations are important and why they should know about them. So long story short with that, I was incarcerated for a day. My friends, including Jim Babb, helped to get me out. I had a court date for this ticket this past Tuesday. I was on the docket, and through the grapevine, I found out that they knew, and when I say they, I mean the feds. So I go, and I effectively defend myself pro se in the Somerdale, New Jersey Municipal Court.
Okay, he's defending himself pro se. We're ready to do battle with the man. They got you, on their playing field with their referees and their rule book and their, sportscasters, and there, you're on their thing. And you're gonna do battle with them. And then there's some guys up in the stands passing out peanuts, pointing, look at the show. And we'll see what we're gonna learn in a little bit.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declared kind of guy, Mr. Fernando Antonio Salguero. He's going to help me make sure I do that right. Okay. Now, let me go ahead and summarize real quick and get us up to where we're at. Because, some guys just like to tell a story the way they like to tell a story. All right. There was an arrest in New Jersey. Okay, why was Fernando from Philadelphia in New Jersey? What happens is they're doing a lot of things. They're involved in Occupy Wall Street. They took advantage of that, as we did here in Phoenix, as they did in Washington, D.C., L.A., New York. There's all kinds of revolutionaries said, you guys really want to know what's going on? You want to know what's going on? You really? You want to know what's going on? Okay, this is what's going on. Here's some DVDs. Here's some information. Let's talk about it. We're sitting here, you know, for, you know, hours and hours and hours and around the clock for days and nothing else to do. And, you know, we can hold court. Well, they did in Philadelphia. They even went so far as to have a structure that was insulated and heated and provided food and all that. And they're just like, damn, we just hate them freaking revolutionaries, those damn libertarians, those damn Ron Paulers, whatever the heck they want call you. And they're going, they're just, you know, they're just mucking up everything. Well, they didn't like that none too much. So what's Fernando do? As well as Arizona, we have unrestricted concealed or open carry. In Philadelphia, they have open carry. Now, of course, they don't want you to know that, but he goes, let me show you how they know that. I walk around with my 1911 45 pistol on my side, and guess what? Now they know. Now, of course, the police officers, well, you check the law, man. How you want to play it? Well, they go, you know what? We'll get ours anyway. Here comes the FBI. Here comes the Fed. We be the law. And as we found out here at the fusion centers and so on, and my contacts in the Phoenix police, and all of a sudden I find out sergeants get an FBI.gov email address. They're dumb, like, seriously? And they go, man, we're just one big happy family. Yes, they are. So it doesn't matter. You go from Philadelphia to New Jersey. You're in the crosshairs, Holmes. Now, at one of the fully informed jury thing that they did in New Jersey for, and Jay Weedman that we've had on several times, he gets off that, you know, and of course they're going to blame those damn activists out there passing out fully informed jury thing, whether that was it or not. You know, they're going to blame them anyway. Somebody's got to pay. So they say, under threat of death and damnation, you must give your ID. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. So they do. Now, here in Arizona, Shelton went to jail, got his foot stomped, broken by, you know, officers that wanted to take his fingerprint. He wouldn't cooperate. They knew who he was. It's just kiss the freaking ring. He wouldn't do it. Eventually, he winds up getting almost a $30,000 settlement from the city of Scottsdale for what happened to him after we went to trial and not guilty and this and that. And Mark Victor's doing his things. I'm appalled, never been, and got a Rule 20 dismissal. We drug that thing out. They're like, we'll just drag it out. We go, good. You know, drag it out. We'll get years out of this thing. Well, it might be what happens with Fernando, too. But they did present ID. 13 years ago, there was a traffic ticket. They said, oh, we got you here. Hey, man, I paid. They go, yeah, prove you did. We got a piece of paper here that says you did. You know what? You know, a computer entry, and, you know, maybe we just made it say that. You never know. I've had this. I spent a night in jail. They stopped me one time and said, you were driving on a suspended license. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. You know, and I go, you know what? You guys, we're going to give you this ticket. And I go, you guys give me a ticket and act like you're doing me a favor. You know, boom, he drops a clipboard, puts me up against a car, and we were traveling in two cars from my restaurant with my family. My kids, my wife saw me get arrested. They take me, put me in jail, get me out the next day in time for me to go, you know, sleep on the floor and whatever, and go work all day in the restaurant again. Later, go to trial. Oh, well, we're going to drop charges for lack of evidence of what? What? It wasn't suspended. Then why'd they say it was? Well, it wasn't. But why'd they say? Well, it's back because they can. They just put this stuff on there. You know, it's like, you know, Lord knows who for what and the same kind of crap. So I have personal experience. This is what they do. Now, whether you paid it or not is not even the point. They want to get you, they get you. So they got this 13-year-old ticket sitting there going, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. He goes to defend himself. He gets into court. That's where we're at now. He does the pro se, does whatever. We're going to find out what happened, but they know he's there. We're going to get us some Fernando. Somebody's got to pay. All right. So that's where we're at. 13-year-old ticket because he showed his ID at this Fiji thing, which, of course, they probably would have arrested him if he didn't anyway, but that might have been even better. You know, that you don't know. You're on the fly. These guys got guns, and they say, you got it. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Click. Here's a hand. Yeah, you do. And then you got to go fight that in court and whatever and so on. This is a good point to, you know, give evidence that you just don't. You know, you just don't, just go. Yeah, we will arrest you. I know. Well, we really, really will. I really, really know. Which I, one of the first arrests, and we made him pay, man. Janet Reno came. It was January 94. I remember it was like, oh, we're holding signs and that, and they arrest me and go and drop charge and give me a civil suit and go. You know, it's, you hold your ground every time, all the time, because it gets worse. This is a perfect example of it. So here we go. He's there defending on this 13-year-old ticket that, true or not, and now they got him there and they want to play. We'll get to that. So, Fernando,
so,
Tell us what happened at the court.
It kept me to the very end. I mean, and court, it's absolutely horrible. It's a room full of people.
And you're the last one.
Says, we accept Visa or MasterCard. And, you know, they'll take all the plea downs. And yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Where can I pay? And then all those with lawyers. And they kept me to the very last. I effectively defended myself. I effectively had the charges dismissed.
Okay, effectively. And why? I mean, what was your effect? I got a canceled check. They're messed up like polio. I mean, what was your defense?
That this is a 13-year-old ticket, and that I would like to, if these charges are not dismissed, then I want to bring it to trial, and I want to face my accuser, and finding a cop that was there 13 years ago, I guess it proved to be too problematic, and they. And I also stated that it would be in the interest of the good people of Somerdale, New Jersey, and their tax base, to not waste any more of their time and money on this.
So the judge goes, yeah, we got what we wanted. We just want to know where you were at a certain time anyway, so dismissed. You think you win, you're walking out, and then?
So there I go. I walk out, charges dismissed. So as I leave, Ernie, first off, when I originally pulled in to the municipal parking lot, it was full for the kangaroo court. I pulled around out past the fleet of police vehicles, and I pulled and I parked on the street. Well, unbeknownst to me, I parked with my bumper, the trunk part of my car, still 2 feet into a zone painted with a yellow curb. So when I came out, my vehicle was swarmed with police like ants all over a piece of dropped candy on the sidewalk in the middle of the summer. And I said, hey, fellas, what's going on? And they said, well, you parked illegally. I said, oh, am I? Ah, geez. All right. Well, go ahead. Give me a ticket if you have to. I'll deal with it. Well, we're not necessarily going to give you a ticket, but let me see your ID. And I said, ID for a traffic ticket, for a parking ticket? Well, you know, we're not necessarily going to give you the ticket. Just, you know, and I was like, all right, fellas. So I gave them my ID. Maybe that was a mistake, but the reality is they already knew who I was. They already run my tags. And they were expecting me. So as soon as I handed my driver's license over, the very next thing that was said to me is, we want to search your vehicle. I said, search my vehicle? For what? For a parking violation? No. Like, well, why won't you let us search your vehicle? I said, because on principle, because you have no probable cause.
Oh, Fernando's got set up. Yep, here we go. All right, now we're getting into the meat of it. Now you see what the heck was this guy in Philadelphia doing in New Jersey? You know, and how did they get to, it was all planned. Oh, did you park your vehicle right? Did you got your grass mowed correctly?
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break
free. Yeah, what's the question? I don't care. You know, more freedom's going to make whatever problem you got better. You know, yeah, but what about and what about and what about more freedom? You know, you want to discuss it? You know, more freedom. You know, less incarceration, I can tell you that. Certainly of the good guys like Fernando Antonio Salguero. You know, am I saying that right?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Fernando Antonio Salguero.
Salguero. Oh, that sounds very cool. Okay. Now, this is what we're going to do. You are now a pro se litigant. You're a 13-year-old ticket. You go in. You say, You know, hey, man, seriously? And the judge probably in on the deal anyway. They want to, you know, they're going to wait till the end. Everybody's gone. It's late at night. You start to get, it's dark. They're going to, you know, here goes Fernando. He's feeling pretty good. You probably made a couple phone calls. Ah, I got it. Ha, 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 ha. And then there's a bunch of cops around your car. You got, you know, there's a little yellow curb thing.
So I come out. I'm 2 foot in, over the yellow curb line space there. And they say they want to search my vehicle. I say, for what? You have no probable cause. So, Ernie, I drive a one of my vehicles. The one I had that night is a 2005 Crown Victoria Police Interceptor, retired police interceptor. And there are no markings. I am also a firefighter in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. So I have legal lights. Everything is appropriate. I've been a firefighter since 2002. So I do a lot of training and hazmat and technical rescue, and I'm well certified, well trained. So I take that very seriously. This is germane to how this unfolds. So they're all over my vehicle, and they say they want to search it. I say, you have no probable cause. And I said, well, it kind of looks like a cop car. I said, but it's not. And then I said,
so what do they care? Why does a cop car mean anything? I don't understand.
Exactly. Okay, they're bullies, and they like the power monopoly.
All right.
So the deputy chief says, well, sometimes we have people impersonate police officers. And so I say, all right, officers, so if this comes out in the court of law, and I say this out loud for all the officers present, and we have to testify, then we can all see that there are no police markings. There's nothing that designates this as a police car. And we can all see that I have just come out of municipal court dealing with business with the municipal court, and I am not being accused of impersonating a police officer, am I? Well, just, you know what, just let us search your vehicle and that'll be that. And I said, no, on principle. I have nothing to hide, but no, you may not, on the constitutional grounds. Well, then we'll get a dog, and if the dog alerts on anything, then we'll get a warrant. And that could take a long time. And I said, really? You really feel that it's that important that you really have to do that? Yeah, okay. Well, fine. Then I'm just going to stand here and wait. So I call my good friend, Mike Salvi, with truthfreedomprosperity.org. He's a co-organizer with me. And I let him know what's going on, and that it's smelling pretty fishy, and that I'd like him to call me every 20 minutes until he doesn't get a hold of me, and then start to call out the troops. Then start to, you know, treat this a little more seriously. So I also then said, and I informed Mike Salvi, and I informed all of the officers there, that I want to be present while the dog searches my property, because I know how there are cues given by handlers to create false alerts on such a regular basis.
Which we have adjudicated here in Arizona several times. Mark Victor has all the goodies on exactly how they do and done and been there, done that. Yes, they do.
Right. So they actually pull me away from my property so that I cannot videotape. I'm not charged with a crime. There is no specific investigation. They have no probable cause to actually call out a dog. So I am sequestered. Then my friends begin to arrive, and they are denied access to me. What was he being charged with? Why is he there? Call floods start coming in. Derek J. and Derek J. Freeman and a number of other people from across the country begin to call.
Call who? The police department or something?
The police department, yeah.
Now,
this
is Camden.
Camden County.
Okay.
Camden County, Summerdale, New Jersey.
All right.
So now I'm being held, and a bomb squad truck pulls up.
Of course.
And I was like, and I'm there with, there is a sergeant and two officers babysitting me. And I said, that looks like my county's bomb squad truck. Is that what that is here in this county? And they look out, oh, I don't know, maybe. So then we hear the dog. After the bomb squad truck, Ernie. After the bomb squad truck.
Oh, so they already know. They already know what they're going to do. It's all done.
They have a dog, and it's not a drug-sniffing dog. It's a bomb-sniffing dog. So then I'm informed after the fact that the bomb-sniffing dog alerted for the presence of explosives.
Now, of course it.
Uh-huh. So
somebody's got to pay, man.
Uh-huh. So this starts at about 8 p.m. I originally came to traffic court at 5:30 p.m. 8 p.m. is when they start the shenanigans outside. Then come 4 a.m., they finally got a warrant from a judge.
Oh, 4 a.m. from 8. Okay, that's good to know.
Uh-huh. And when they got the warrant, I said, because I actually was engaging in Oath Keepers outreach and jury nullification outreach with the three officers that I was with.
I'm hip. Having any effect?
Yeah, actually, you know, I did a lot. We talked about the militarization of the police department. We talked about the global police state, the erosion of U.S. sovereignty. We talked about gun laws and you know, from different perspectives.
Did you open any eyes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the sergeant was also a firefighter, and he and I had a lot in common. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that we were buddy-buddy, but we had a lot in common, and we had 8 freaking hours to kill together.
No kidding. Okay, so did they kind of confirm your suspicions that there's some, you know, a little something-something going on? They were there by
they
direction
did not,
of...
But, they did not, but I have it on good authority after the fact through sources in a number of different townships, both in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It's through the police grapevine and the sheriff's department's grapevine that the feds knew I was on the docket and that they wanted to squash me like a bug and make me go away. And that's that.
That's how they think, man. I'm telling you, you know, this is, you know, all right, fine. We're going to have some fun. They want to play. Let's play. All right. So now it's 8 hours later. Here comes the dog, and he does the cartoon point thing or barks or whatever, and, you know, they stick a baton in his butt or whatever, made him respond to whatever. And he goes, roof, and they go, yep, that's what we thought. Probable cause. Here we go. So they...
So after they told me that the warrant has been issued, I then said to the sergeant, I said, here's the key to my car, so that you don't have to do any property damage. Okay. So they brought a robot. The robot blasted my trunk open with a shotgun blast.
No!
Pried it open.
Okay, that's a good place to stop. In the next hour, we'll go ahead and let you finish it. And we got James Babb. He's going to be able to tell from his perspective because he arrives. You know, all of a sudden, here comes the activist. What time did James get there about?
Probably somewhere around midnight-ish.
Midnight. Another 4 hours waiting, and he does his quick thing. We all get that, and we're like, the heck's going on? Oh, no, we gotta have the robot. You know, this is blow it up. You know, boom. Cause you know why? Let me tell you why. You know, this helps everybody understand why. You know why? Because they can! And they wanted to. And they planned it. Somebody's gotta pay. Okay. This is gonna go national. Already has. Here we go. Thank you. Well, we got to help Fernando. We'll be right back.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, but we are relatively concerned. Okay, let me go ahead and summarize. We got James Babb on too. We're going to go ahead and let Fernando go ahead and finish up his story because we're just into the good now. Okay, now this is how it goes. James and a lot of the guys in Philadelphia, like a lot of the guys in Keene, a lot of the guys here in Phoenix, a lot of the guys in Austin, Texas, a lot of the guys all over the country, are doing this very thing. It is what they hate the most. They, them, though. Who are they, Ernie? Who are they? Or those just want to be left alone, those won't leave them alone. That's how simple it is. You think it's more complicated than that, and it is not. Who are the guys that won't leave you alone? I mean, is it your neighbor? Is it the government? Is it a shiny badge? Is it a bully? Is it this 6'5", 300-pound, just, ornery neighbor? I mean, is it, I've had all of these experiences. I don't get mad. I'm just like, whatever. They're their own worst enemy. You just kind of, avoid the pain, but. When is it time? What did Claire Wolf say? She goes, look, we're at that awkward time in America. It's too late to work within the system and too early to shoot the bastards. That was 15 years ago. So I'm going, okay, are we there yet? I think that's what they want. And then when they start, somebody does start going on a shooting rampage, who is it? It's a cop shooting cops and got all this. You know what? This is going to get attention. I'm going down. Yeah, I know I'm going down. But everybody's going to know what scumbags you are. Well, we're like, we know. Okay, I get it. So now what? Now, when's it time to start shooting back? I don't know. If you show up at the Village Green, you're the only one there. It's not time. There's a time to where it's always going to be like in V. It's going to be the little girl spray painting whatever they shoot in the back. And then here we go. It's going to be, a time when somebody, like a L.A. cop starts going out and his manifesto of L.A. cop and L.A. is bad and this is why. And he gets Facebook fans, his Twitter accounts. Go, Dorner, go. I mean, this is in an environment. And what are they doing? This one guy, he's driving not even the same truck. I mean, or color or anything. He's going, they stop him. Okay, yeah, go along. A minute down the road, they lay waste into him. They start shooting, pumping bullets into it. Why were you? You could see it. Was he wasn't even black? Well, he was obscured by the airbag. This is their mentality. This is what they're doing to Fernando. It's just because they can. So when's it time? I'll tell you what happens. The time is when everybody knows that they need to be taken out. So like what? They'll go, we got to close down the police department of, we're supposed to be afraid. Whew, man. That Onion did a piece on making fun of the LAPD taking out Dorner so they can go back and patrol. And, LA residents afraid. The LAPD's back on the job. I mean, I'm going, this is just part of the breakup. This is when it happened. When is it time? We're a day closer, I guarantee you that. But I never advocate for it. It's the love, man. It's the love. Why? Because it makes it clear who's not about the love. And that contrast is what you have passive resistance. What a lot of people don't know in the gun DVDs that we did is that in the, it says one of the movies is No Guns for Negroes. They're, what? What? Well, of course, it's like, you know, we advocate that everybody be armed, and there's one, No Guns for Jews, and it talks about, you know, how they were able to get them to go in the cattle car and take their cyanide showers. And then you have No Guns for Negroes. Well, it talks about gun control here in America, freed slaves, Ku Klux Klan, pony white sheep people, didn't want them to be able to defend against them getting lynched. I mean, seriously. This is that. Well, what they didn't tell you in history class is that during the 60s, they had the Black Panthers, very armed. All of a sudden, they started, a little respect. And then the Deacons, which was an older group of guys. They carried shotguns, and they were protecting Martin Luther King and a lot of the freedom marchers, armed black men legally in the South. Are you seriously? You serious? You want to get into this? You really want to do this? Well, now they got armed, the state capitol this last Saturday, because a couple of weeks ago when they showed up armed with AR-15s and so on, there were enough out of, hundreds of people there. There were dozens of long rifles. This time, I didn't go to this one Saturday. We were watching grandkids. Just got back from our trip. Everybody was telling me, man, there were lots of rifles. Well, what did we do? A few years ago, you go look CNN, Ernest Hancock, just do that and that show will come up. When the black man with the AR-15 came, that messed up their crap. A black man, damn it, just screwed up their whole deal. So they went after Huttery militia in Michigan because they were going to come here and make some big show. Why? Because the nail's sticking up higher. You got 50 nails in a board. The one that's sticking up higher, that's where the feds are going to be hitting it. Well, who's sticking up? Fernando. So when is it time? I don't know, that's an individual decision, not a group decision. Individuals. Now, when you got a bunch of individuals doing it, then you got a movement, they lose. Done. Over. Next. Well, that's already starting. I see it. This is an example. They're desperate. They only understand force. And, as it turns out, fraud. Because they're just making this stuff up as they go along. So now we're at the point, and got James there. Hello.
Hello.
Now, just go ahead and hold you off here. I want Fernando to go ahead and take the last couple minutes of this segment and go ahead and get. We got a robot, goes up to his trunk, and they blast. He goes, hey, man, here's the key. You don't got, my nice cop interceptor thing that I bought at auction or whatever, and I got and everything. Looks like a cop car. Yeah, so? I mean, so? I like the performance of the whatever, so? It's got some light. I'm a volunteer firefighter. I go do, we're going to get in the trunk. All right, here's the key. You got a warrant. All right, here's the key. You got a warrant. It took you 8 hours, but you got a warrant. Here's the key. No. So what did they do, Fernando?
Well, for the pig to justify their space at the trough, and again, the bomb squad was out there before the bomb-sniffing dog. And that's another thing. Why would they send an explosives-sniffing dog to my car? Why not a drug dog?
Because they were looking. They thought you would have a gun.
It was already set up.
You're a gun guy. You're in New Jersey. They want it in your trunk in the worst way. They go, we know it's Fernando. He will put his gun in the trunk and drive it in New Jersey, transport it. We're going to get us a gun. Oh, they already knew. But they didn't find a gun, did they?
Ernie, to get where we're going, They use their robot toy to have their fun. They blast open my trunk. They ransack my car. They actually stole property from me, things that have not been on the books. They took my lighting control equipment that was mounted in my trunk for as my use as a firefighter, legally in my Commonwealth, and they stole some other things. What they did is they found signal flares, or they alleged that they found signal flares. Let me just be careful because I'm still going to be presenting myself in the court of law. So let me be very careful in the words that I use here. Words matter. They allegedly found three signal flares when people are in distress and need to signal for help, that's what they're there for. That's what they're made for. Oh, Ernie.
I know. See? You need 2 hours. I told you. Okay. So they found signal flares and a couple other things. Real quick, what were they?
Pepper spray and a baton.
Pepper spray, a baton, signal flares, 10 felonies. okay? We're going to find out why when we come back. You guys stay right there with James Babb and Fernando Salguero.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Here they come. You want to know, how did the people in Nazi Germany allow this to happen? You know, as a junior high kid, 7th, 8th grade, they're going through all this Holocaust and stuff, trying to explain to you, you know, and they did this, and then they, you know, gathered them up here, took all their stuff here, separated them here, put them on the, you know, the platform there, put them in the category, clank, went shut, put them in the shower, dead. And as a, you know, 12, 13-year-old kid, you got to be going, what, WTF, mate? How the heck did that happen? Why did it happen? Why did they let, you know, what? At what point? I asked these very questions, and I was told this. When the handcuffs go on. Because if you're a woman, and whatever fighting and, you know, molesting, raping, abusing, kind of accosted in the alleyway of the whatever and so on, man, never let the handcuffs go on. You fight to the death of the handcuffs. Whatever is going on, no handcuffs. You don't get taken into the van and the whatever kind of stuff. And how do you do that with law enforcement? You know, when's the handcuffs? You know, we are having the handcuffs put on because they did it, Fernando. We are being targeted. We are at risk. We. You know, he's just tip of the spear. And, you know, and I don't know, we the shaft. So I'm going, all right. Now it's time they go into the trunk, they find some stuff, then what happens, Fernando?
Well, allegedly, they find signal flares, three of them. They find pepper spray, and they find a baton.
Okay, how is each one of these illegal to begin with? I mean, why would they even list
them? It's the fascist, Nazi, corporatist state of New Jersey. One of the most crooked... one of the most crooked states that there is in the union. And that's just what it comes down to.
So they have a baton is illegal.
It's an illegal weapon. Pepper spray over the ineffective size of 3/4 of an ounce. The little keychains, the slaves are allowed to have the little keychains. But anything that the LEOs have, the law enforcement officers have, that's too much power for the slaves.
How is that a
so
felon?
So slaves aren't allowed to be armed. So I had a, so I had the experience of being incarcerated. They charged me with 10 indictable offenses where I'll have to go, it looks like I'll have to go before a grand jury in New Jersey Superior Court. I will be spending many, many thousands of dollars on legal fees and
somebody's got to pay
of all sorts, because this is too much for me to do pro se. I'm going to be out of my depth, so I'm going to present myself with a blended or hybrid defense, where I will not be represented by an attorney, but I will have counsel. And so that's going to be very, very expensive.
Okay, how am I going to get all the information so Mark Victor, criminal defense attorney, which has a brother that's a criminal defense attorney and just as rare in Boston. So we've done this kind of stuff before. How do I get the information or the packet that we can examine? I can get to him and have a meeting.
You and I can talk offline, and I can send it to you. I could send it to you online and share all the information.
Okay.
That
so
I
what
have
we'll do share. Is we'll have this show. You know, I'll get Mark to come on. We'll talk about this or talk to you, do something, well, whatever. Because we've been through this before. I mean, it's the same kind of crap, and we love Heppin. But you know, I mean, there's expenses. You know, there's travel. You know, it may be as simple of help as here is this particular motion. That's already been adjudicated in this and that. Here's how you word it. Here's a Word doc file. Boom, he sends. You know, saves your ass. Okay.
So here's the important part. Here's the important part. I work. I'm a working man. I work 6 days a week. I am self-employed. I take care of my wife and kids. I'm a volunteer firefighter. I do a lot of other good activism that is not just political. I am a good man by my own standard, and I have done nothing wrong, and I am being railroaded.
Of course.
Because of my defense of the Bill of Rights.
Of course. And against
who?
That's
what it all comes down to.
Of course.
That's what it all comes down to. Now, I want to get out there before another damn commercial break comes up, Ernie.
Blame Ian.
So I have 10 indictable offenses, and so what's going on here is that the feds, the FBI, was in communication with the local Somerdale Police Department and feeding the locals information. The
one big happy family.
They came out, exactly. The federalization of local police departments is a big, big deal.
See, this is what this case is all about.
So the FBI feeds to the chief of police for his press conference information. And so the chief of police comes out and announces, and I didn't say any of this to the police department, that I am a sovereign citizen, which I am. I am a natural-born human being. And the state, the government, does not own me. I own my own body. I own myself. And I teach others about self-ownership. Survive and Thrive, Philadelphia.org. We teach all things self-reliance, including sovereignty.
Of course you're targeted. I mean, this is like, what you think was going to happen? I get it. Okay, well, let's go to James. James, how'd you find out this was going on, and you took it upon yourself to drive voluntarily into New Jersey? Okay, so tell me the story, man, real quick.
Yeah, there's not too many people I would drive into New Jersey for, but Fernando's definitely one of those. I got a text message around midnight that Fernando's been taken into custody in Somerdale, New Jersey, and I really didn't know much more than that. But a short while longer, you know, I'm driving in there. I had heard that our friend Mike Danker had been chased off the scene for some reason. None of this really made any sense, so I just wanted to go see what was going on. I thought it was going to be the typical scenario. You know, you show up, you find out what the charges are, what the bail is, and you start trying to get your friend out of the, you know, away from the kidnappers. I noticed this was definitely a different scene as I arrive in my car. The whole neighborhood's blocked off. Like, wow, that's interesting. Okay, so I park my car several blocks away. I'm like, you know what, I don't want my car anywhere near this. Leave my wallet and ID, everything behind. I just go in on foot with my camera. And anyway, I encounter the first roadblock, and they're like, hey, get out of here. You know, I'm like, what's going on? Police situation, get out of here. What kind of situation? Get out of here, I'm not going to tell you again. So I was immediately chased off, and then, you know, waited for some more friends to arrive, and we continued to investigate what was going on.
Okay, when we come back, we'll find out what was going on from James' perspective.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
A man decides after 70 years that what he goes there for.
Okay, we're right back. Fernando and James. Okay, let's go ahead and go to James. Now, James, you get called in, you're going, they got the whole thing section. It's bomb squad thing. They're like, woo, we got us Fernando. And you got the FBI doing, they see from their perspective that you threat the whatever, I don't know, the man. I mean, it's what you guys do in Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love, the birth of the Constitution, and this and that, and everything. Kind of, hell no. And we got him in New Jersey. New Jersey's good doing this kind of stuff. I mean, you're going to pay. So now you're in New Jersey. They got you, you know, on the platter, and you, by whatever communication you get, you find out you go from Philadelphia to Newton. Now, how far away from Philadelphia is it to where you were in New Jersey, James?
Maybe it was a half an hour. It wasn't too far, but you know, this is definitely enemy territory when you're crossing into Jersey. It's just not a safe place. But so after I have my initial encounter on foot at this first roadblock, and he wouldn't tell me what was going on. He said, "What was going on?" He said, "I can't tell you. Police matter. Get out of here. You know, I'm not playing." You know, couldn't get anything out of him. I wait, and we go to I meet Mike Salvi and our friend Danielle over at Dunkin' Donuts, which I knew something was up because it was mysteriously devoid of police. Okay, at Dunkin' Donuts, something big's going on. So anyway, I've got a couple friends, and we're just kind of like driving around the neighborhood, looking at each street that's blocked off, trying to figure out, you know, what the hell are we going to do here? So we're making phone calls. We can't get any information by phone. We're circling around. Finally, you know, we figure, well, I guess we just have to sort of park and watch for the lights to go away so we can go in there and see, you know, try to get our friend out. So we parked the car. Literally, I mean, we must be about four blocks away from the police station, maybe, you know, two blocks away from the checkpoint itself. Stop the car, turn off the engine. We're just going to wait and, you know, see what happens, see what we can do on the phone. Well, here comes the police to us, okay? Now they're like, whoa, whoa, hey, you, what are you doing here, you know? And they're like, we got a report of a suspicious vehicle. You know, like, oh, really? Okay. You know, so they demand ID from me, refuse to answer questions, threaten me for filming them, threaten me to, we'll charge you with obstruction. You know, we control the situation here, not you.
Obstruction four blocks away?
Right, sitting in my car all by myself in the middle of the night. Anyway, they're full, you know, and I had to say, look, you know, if we want this encounter to, you know, I'll be truthful with you, but why don't you not BS me? You know, let's just back up and try that again. And the guy literally grabbed my camera and while it was still in my hand and tried to take it from me. And I'm like, no, you're luckily I was able to sort of snatch it back. But these people were, you know, these are not nice people.
Okay, they're now let me ask you, you know, one thing that I'm interested in, are these seasoned, ass-kicking 45, 50-year-old cops, or are they, you know, 27-year-old, I just came back from Afghanistan and Iraq and I was told to kick your ass people?
I think it's closer to the latter. These people were obviously inexperienced, at least the ones that I encountered. I'm sure they had, you know, all types there. But, you know, they were told, okay, now go find out who those people are, you know, go run there, you know, make up some excuse. You know, a suspicious vehicle. I'm like, well, what's suspicious? Well, we got a call. What do you mean? Well, you're driving around the police station. We don't know what you're doing. So driving around is suspicious. Okay. you know, they don't care. They just make up whatever they have to.
God, this sounds like a documentary, man. This is, you know, this is like, you know, like I was telling Fernando, I love the fact that they, you know, amp up all this BS and they do all. I mean, it just makes the story even better. It just shows how buffoonish they are.
Well, I wasn't sure if they were going to, you know, if we had, you know, if they were going to have a few more prisoners by just us being nearby.
Oh, no, you're next.
You know, that's kind of the problem with New Jersey. It's like whenever we go to help somebody, somebody else ends up getting in trouble.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're in line.
You know?
Quit going to New Jersey. I remember, you know, a scene from Long Kiss Goodnight with Samuel Jackson and Gina Davis, and they said, I've got out of, you know, she's an agent. She goes, oh, I got out of Beirut. You know, I can certainly get out of New Jersey. He goes, I don't know, maybe not. Millions have tried.
You know, it's not a joke. It's just so tragic. But that is, you know, what this place has become. So, well, anyway, they finally let us go after about 30 minutes of just hanging around there. You know, like, oh, well, I guess he doesn't have any outstanding warrants. Where there's nothing we can do to hassle him. But we've let them know we're the tough guys here. So, you know, that's something I guess they're thinking. So anyway, hours go on, and we're like, well, what are we going to do now? So, you know, we're calling in periodically, getting nowhere. We're getting nowhere. So we're like, well, okay, let's put it out on Facebook. It's, at this point, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. We're like, look, if you're up now, call, okay? Call this number. Demand the release of Fernando. You know, do it now. Just call in. You know, even at 3 o'clock in the morning, we started getting the phone ringing.
Yeah, activists, libertarians don't even go to bed till a light comes up. You know?
Right. So, and then we're like, okay, so we've got that started. We're like, well, maybe we could get the news crews in. So we started calling the major TV networks. You know, we actually got some news crews to come out, start covering it in the middle of the night. So, you know, we're like, well, at least, you know, all we can do is shine light on this. I mean, that's really all, you know, when it comes down to it, that's the only thing we can do.
Well, they get the 3x5 card from the, you know, surrogate of the FBI fusion, we're all big happy family people, and says, oh, bomb squad, and we brought out the bomb team, and we got out the dogs, and we got, and he's a known whatever and sovereign, and, you know, we got him, and finally, and it's been a dragnet manhunt forever, and here he is, kind of crap. I mean, I know how it works. So
that's exactly right. Although, luckily, we did sort of preempt them slightly and sort of interject some of our own message beforehand, to the extent that the Philadelphia Daily News, when they reported on it, they had quotes from our friend Mike Salvi, and they had a whole paragraph about, you know, Fernando, he's a good guy, volunteer fireman, you know, friends care about him, you know, like, so that we at least made sure that their, you know, Fusion Center report wasn't the only description getting out there. And I think that's where we have to continue.
Yeah,
to.
Absolutely. And you know how I am. You saw the thing about our trash can flyer deal, you know? So, you know, you do that. You do the DVDs. I got thousands of DVDs we can do like we've done with Cop Block and Liberty on Tour when they did their trials in Massachusetts and all that. I go, you guys want to play information war? We go straight to the people. Bypass all your BS and show how not only your alliance sack of snot, the media is your lapdog. And by making that case, if they want to play, let's play, James. Let's play. I mean, let's play. I want to play. Let's play.
Unfortunately, it's right now, you know, we have a defensive game to play to save Fernando's butt.
Think that is.
but we will be going to an aggressive campaign. With the help of my friends, I'm going to ball this up efficiently and compact it and shove it down their throats in a very public way.
I mean,
people have the right to resist. And every single time that we don't resist, every single transgression that goes unpunished in this country is a shame to everything that has gone before us and is a shame to everything that lies ahead.
Okay, now that right there is what they want, they need, just that rhetoric. And I'm like shoving it down their throat. Oh, just everybody knows that they need it shoved down their throat.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good! So good! Oh, I got James Babb and Fernando on, getting it amped up! I know what's coming! Now, everybody's got their own plan for, there is no central plan for freedom. You know, and you know, my thing is, you know, I'm advocating there's no central plan for freedom. You know, it's what was it Dorner was saying? Unconventional, asymmetrical, kick your ass from all kinds of directions. You want to play warfare? Well, you know what's included in that? You know, information. You know, this is a battle for your mind. And we use this as an example of, say, I'm not, you know, I'm like, oh, please, brother. You know, we take our guns to Obama rally kind of, you know, I'm not, you know, afraid, you know, but what do we do? We're nice to the police officers. We need you here to protect our rights. You going to do that? Or are you not going to do it? Is the story going to be you not doing it? You going to be violating the law? Or are you? We just approach it in a different way. You know, it's not, you know, we're going to do this. We work with, we got gum down, boom. They want to push back. You got the fusion, the feds, and they come in, you know, go ahead. Let's rock and roll and whatnot. Well, they got mad. They started changing, you know, personnel and so on. But then what happens? Oh, we got this baseline killer thing. Mark Victor's on this wrongful death. A bunch of people got murdered because, you know, please bay it. You know, so, okay, you guys want to play? You know, let's play. You know, how do you want to do this? But I tell you, it's information. And a lot of what Fernando and James are doing is information. They're making sure people come to the realization of, and sometimes, depending on how you do it, you become the target. You're the one is sitting in jail. You're the one counting on your friends to be able to come to your aid and help you. But don't ever expect for us to do whatever it is you want the way you want to do it. We'll do what we want the way we want to do it, or maybe a predetermined agreement, and maybe we'll change our mind. You can't count on anybody. You're always, when it comes down to it, and they close the cell door, you're the one in there by yourself. You know, talk Derek J. You know, victimless crime spree. You know, go through all this stuff. Well, guess what? He's the one that did 2 months. So, you know, are you glad you did it? Not? I don't know. We're going to find out. Now, James, I need to know, man, you know, the game plan on this. Is this a long-term slow burn, make it go, we've got, oh, man, here comes the documentary, we're going to make sure everybody knows everything? Or is this, we're going to do it in their courtroom and kind of, you know, hunker down and get nice and see if we can play technical? I mean, what's the plan?
Well, it's again, I don't have a central plan for freedom either, but I can tell you what my personal plan is going to be to shine as much light on this as I can, to expose these people in Somerdale, New Jersey.
Count on me helping.
For the frauds that they are, okay? These people are, these are some of the lowest forms of life on the planet right now. They're the worst of the worst. I think they're sort of the epitome of what's gone wrong in police state America. And I'm also going to make sure that people know why that we love Fernando. I mean, if I'm in a crisis, there's two people I want in this world on my side. Fernando's definitely one of those. Our friend Mike Salvi's another one. You know, there's a reason that the community rallied support to get Fernando out of jail was because Fernando is because he does such amazing work. You know, does not stand up and pat himself on the back. He's not the kind of guy that's like, look at me, look how great I am. He just steadily does amazing work, and he's been definitely noticed. I think what's really made him a target for the authorities is the fact that, you know, he has qualities that I see in Pete Ayer. He doesn't really go out of his way to ruffle feathers, but he just doesn't bow down. He's still standing while everyone else is on their knees, and therefore he gets noticed.
Yep.
And I think that's something that these are very admirable traits. Fernando is a member of the Levolution. You know, we understand that. Look, they use violence. They use coercion. They're a centralized, top-down authority. You know, our strength is going to be the opposite of that. Our strength is going to be love. It's going to be an open flow of information. It's going to be a decentralized effort. So, you know, whatever their strength, I mean, they'd love for you to come in and all, you know, with your chest out and, you know, and we're going to beat you in your game. You know, they're ready for that. You know, what they're not ready for is, you know, is people to just spread the truth.
No, we saw what happens here in the Southwest, here in California. I mean, it spilled over into, you know, Nevada and Arizona. And we have absolutely no problem whatsoever with no threat of liability or accountability or repercussions or anything of just laying waste and full automatic fire on vehicles that might be somebody in there. I mean, well, what the heck are you sorry. You know, got a chief apology. We're so sorry that happened. I'm like, wow, if this isn't a big giant neon flash and wake up call. And the one thing that I'm seeing in this is that It is federalization of local law enforcement. They are not in charge, even to their own detriment. And I'll tell you, it happened with the Occupy stuff that we saw here in Phoenix. They will sit there and get on their shields. And they were bringing in law enforcement from other jurisdictions. And the only reason they were willing to do it, and they wanted to do it, and even though the city council here didn't want them to do it, was because they were getting paid overtime from the federal government. We are federal. This is what Jack McLam was screaming about. Mr. Original Officer Friendly from here in Phoenix, Aid and Abet newsletter, Police and Military Against New World Order, all that stuff. He goes, you're going to be the tip of the spear for this new world, whatever you want to call it, because they're going to federalize and have from top down, they, them, those, whoever is going to be telling local law enforcement to do the kind of stuff they did to Fernando because they want them to. Why? Doesn't matter why. Here's your check. Just freaking do it. And then and here comes the bomb squad before they even have the bomb dog doing whatever. Why? Because I know why. Because they know he's a Second Amendment guy. They thought for absolute certain they were going to find a firearm in the trunk of his car. And they didn't. So they just make up this other crap. So they're going to try and get theirs by, you know, make him guilty in the press before he even gets there. And that's what we do. You know, as far as I'm concerned, fish on, you scumbags. Let's go. Let's rock. You want to play? It's an information war. Let's do it. Because what does it prove? That they're going to do whatever it takes to take thorns in their side, put them out, and burn them. And I'm going, you know, and they've done it to you too, James, all you guys, because you're just too effective. I want to help. There is a way that we can, but just let us know when the timing is right. As far as I'm concerned, it's information. And if Fernando winds up serving, oh, that's even better, better. You know, that's made for TV movie. That's made for internet movie. So I'm just like, you know, so what is your feeling, Fernando? Are you afraid? I mean, are you think?
No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And I'll tell you something. I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. And my daughter, I make sure that she has a good childhood. I don't deprive her of childhood knowing all the things that I work on and do. But that being said, she is well-educated for a 10-year-old kid. And I asked her the other day, honestly, would you rather live, die on your feet or live on your knees? What do you think is a better thing to do? She paused, and she said, die on my feet. And I asked her, why? And she said, because to be on my knees for my life makes me think of slavery. And I don't want that. She went with me to Michael Badnarik's Constitution class. You know Michael Badnarik?
Very well.
Great man. She and I took his Constitution class together. 8 hours. When we're driving home through Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, Valley Forge National Park.
Yeah, 1 minute.
I asked her, what'd you get out of all that? And she said, my body is my property. All law is property law. And if you don't own your body, you're a slave. That's what she said. That's what she got from Constitution.
This is the most effective thing that we can do as activists, been around for decades. I mean, I'm in my second decade here, and I tell you, this is the most important thing that can happen is an awareness, an education, an understanding who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. That's why the show is Declare Your Independence. It's really simple. Didn't say what kind of government, and just how to told you how to define who the bad guys were, the ones that won't leave you alone. If they, you know, purpose of government, protect individual rights, are not doing that, they're the bad guys. How hard is that? Well, James and Fernando, James Babb and Fernando Salguero, they're making it clear for all of us.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me,
but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah. This is a, you know, in the off-air conversations with Fernando and James, you know, you really get, you know, a lot of the good and what's going on. We're gonna have some fun. But I'm telling you, I got to make this very clear. If you were to create your own community, you know, who are the people you'd want there? You want them capable, and you want them strong, and you want them resilient, and you want them informed, and you want them educated on, you know, whatever the needs are, and they're an ad. You know? Ad. You want them to also know when to just say no. You know, sometimes, you know, there's two things. I remember L. Neil Smith had, you know, in the early, mid-90s, had a big impact on us and the kind of activism, no compromise kind of thing. And it got to the point to where, you know, you didn't see it anywhere, that it became a just like characters in his novels. He didn't realize that here in Arizona, we were embracing, you know, a lot of the stuff already, and a lot of his aphorisms, you know, about, you know, how, you know, I'll give you an example. One of them, my favorites, is goes something like this. It says, take the most extreme position philosophically that you can. You know, how can you be too principled? You know, you'll be taking territory, you know, that you won't have to compete for later, mostly with your allies. You know, be the most extreme. If you're not at least a little uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough. Now, let me define that for you. If you come out and you say, no compromise, I'm whatever, you know, no compromise. Oh, you got a compromise and guns you have, no compromise. And we would do things like, you know, in the mid-90s, this is like a big deal, man. We're raffling off AR-15s and stuff like that just to make a point. This is, you know, the assault weapons ban. They're coming after guns. They're doing militia thing, all this kind of stuff. We raffle off AR-15, this big, scary, ugly black gun, detachable magazine, pistol grip, raffling it off. That's how we funded, like $12,000 we raised to fund our first workshop. You know, we said, but we need $12,000. When we get there, we do it. How are we going to do that? We'll raffle off guns. Okay, so here comes the media. Oh, look at the crazy people. Got ties on. Logical and reasoned arguments. It's legal. People should know this. Educational thing. And people were buying the tickets. $5 a piece because they won the ticket. You know, we have winners and all that kind of stuff. But really, the good was support for what we were doing and the ticket. It was a head thing. So what happens is, well, don't you think that? No, we think this. Well, don't you? They're trying to browbeat you. They want to convince you. They want to make you, you know, feel silly or look stupid or whatever. And you're just going, man, don't you guys get it? You guys look stupid, which is fine with us. So we go through this kind of stuff. And what happens is you educate the people on what not only the law is, but the principles behind it and why that's the law. Now, some places are better than others. Now, of course, there are gun grabbers and everything were coming for Arizona as much or more than anywhere else. They come after the militias here. They arrest people. They go through all that stuff trying to beat you into submission because the nail's sticking higher. To think they're not coming after Arizona is to be naive. You think they're not going to come after Arizona? Me, Campaign for Liberty, Ron Paul, people, Republican Party, what do you think they're not? Of course they are. Just like they go after Fernando out of Philadelphia in Camden County, New Jersey. So are they targeting, well, if they could, if they can, they think it's to their benefit? Of course. You know, they got it all set, they're something. I mean, it's going to be an IRS audit this. It's going to be you did that as a federal, you know, wire and transfer and doing something. They'll make up some crap, you know, and they'll hit you with 5 gazillion counts of, you know. So what do you do? Well, first off, if you're going to be on the list, in my opinion, be on top of the list. And nonviolent, non-confrontational. I don't want to beat them. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to get the lever from them. I don't want the shiny badge. I don't care. But what I can do is to make it very clear that other people shouldn't care either. If you're going to have a legitimate government, that government has to be there in defense of individual rights. And if it's not, It's bad. I don't want to be in charge of the bad. Look at this machine that's doing whatever. I avoid that one. But there's no central plan for freedom. Everybody's going to do what they're going to do, and that's what we're going to talk about in this hour. What's our plan? Starting in the next segment, I'll really get into it. But I tell you what it is. It is a realization over many years. We've known this for a long time. What do I say? Now, other people have been listening. People of resources, people that want to help, people that want to, make sure that the revolution continues and this idea and whatever and support what we're doing. So we get a lot of support from a lot of people, and they have been very gracious and very generous in making sure that during the revolution, so on, yeah, okay, Ernie, you're getting whatever going, what do you need? Well, okay, I mean, is it unlimited wish list of? Yeah, pretty much. Okay, what can help? All right. Well, I need money for this computer and that computer and this device and this, for broadcasting, and I can do this, and we have the site there and did, and the monthly and the magazine kind of cost, and boom. And they go, okay. I go, really? Okay. And I was efficient about it. I mean, just didn't spend, we open up big, giant, high-rise buildings and say that we need, no, man, I can do this freaking in one of the bedrooms of my house. I got a barn out here that we can put all the other stuff. We make the TV. I go, I don't have to just be wasting money. Well, they're kind of like, Ernie, you're getting a little too frugal, man. I mean, there's some things that we could do. You need to know what we know. You don't know the value of your archive. You don't know the value of your branding. You don't know the value. There's a lot of things that we want to help, okay? For no financial, they're wealthy. They're good. They got what they're going on. They just like, Ernie, you're an embarrassment, man. Your friends of ours would go around and everything. You're the poor guy. And there's no need to be. You need to be able to, fund. I go, well, it's not, it's not that. I have, low needs, man. I'm low maintenance. Me and Donna, we're freaking ecstatic. We got, food. We know so many people that are in such straits, and their families and their kids and their grandkids. We are blessed with not having all that weight on our heads. Our kids are very productive. Our kids have jobs. Our kids have happy lives and families, and we get to spend time with them and help raise our grandkids. I do not take for granted how lucky we are. I want to share that. I want people to be able to just have the peace of mind. There was a book by a guy named Trevanian, I think. It was called Shibumi. And it's, kind of secret agent kind of thing, and there's a lot of intrigue and mystery and blah, blah, blah. And he was a spelunker, and you got a lot of information on cave diving and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going, all right, it had a big impact on me because the name of the book was Shibumi. Shibumi, this is like, man, before I got married, this is like early 80s or something, like 81, 82, 83. I'm out of high school, a little bit of college. I'm in Fort Worth. I'm reading this book, and I used to read a lot of books. I got, a lot of my education from books and magazines, man. School didn't give me too much. But the just indoctrination. But this information in this book, and the main thing was Shibumi is a Japanese word that basically translates into peace of mind. Shibumi is a goal. You can do it through a lot of different things, but mainly it's just, are you at peace with yourself? Are you in a peaceful situation? It's a frame of mind. And I always saw worry and fear as a motivation to act, to do something. Yes, I am worried about this. What do I do about it? Well, let's be creative. Let's think about it. Let's meditate. Let's self-hypnosis. Let's do the right drug. Let's, take a break, go on a vacation, talk with friends, something, whatever gets you in the right mindset of peace, love, not confrontation, just to find a solution. That is what we're going to go for. What else are you going to go for? There may be, confrontation, battle even, whatever. But that's not the mechanism. That may be what you have to do, but it's not what you want to do. What do we want to do? Keep breathing in and out in freedom and survive this thing.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, here is the segment they did on CBS 5 here in Arizona on our trash can flyer thing. Now, those on video, you can see this, but it's also, the audio, I'm sure you'll get enough out of it, and I'll tell you the rest of the story after.
Apparently, this was on my trash can on Monday.
When Carmen Phoebus' dad first spotted the orange flyer taped to his trash can...
No, he was really worried.
The flyer claims Agent 4409 from the fictional Office of Information Awareness went through Phoebus' trash looking for any suspicious purchases.
And when I came home from work, my dad showed me this, and he was freaking out. My dad's 88 years old, and he basically said, you're going to go to jail. But the thing that really upset me was... the last sentence. Again, we are sorry that we missed you, but rest assured, we know where you live.
Almost a threat.
Yes, I take that as a threat.
And even though Phoebus suspected it wasn't quite legit, she called Tempe police and confirmed the flyer is fake.
They basically said it was just probably a solicitation.
We went to the website listed on the flyer and learned the flyer can be downloaded, printed out, and used as an anti-government activist tool. And that we emailed, called, and went to two homes associated with the owner of the website, we weren't able to reach anyone involved with this solicitation scare.
I think it's pretty bogus.
Leaving folks and like Phoebus frustrated at the fictional Information Awareness Center.
It's not a fun thing to have at home when you have like worked all day and you're tired and you just want to go home and relax. So you're supposed to go home. That's supposed to be your safe haven.
All right, so what if you do if you actually find one of these on your trash can? Well, the city of Tempe says don't throw it away. Give them a call. And if you actually see someone taping it to your trash can, call the non-emergency number for Tempe police. We posted both of those phone numbers on our free website, CBS5AZ.com. We're live, Greg Argos, CBS 5 News.
Greg, thank you.
Yeah, go get them. Go get them. Go get them, go get them, go get them. They're putting on the flyers. Woohoo! And they showed the actual, you know, the website. They showed the QR code so people can get it from their screen and so on. So I'm just like, you know, this is, of course, that's what we wanted. Well, we were in Florida. We were in the Florida Keys at the time. I get a call. I don't know. I wasn't really checking my phone a lot anyways. I didn't care. I was on vacation. So this is the behind the stories, the behind the scenes story, real quick before we get into our other thing. I get a call from this reporter, and of course he wants to, you know, they whatever they want to do with it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's pretty self. I returned the call and I said, look, it's self-explanatory. Go to the websites. It's obvious what it is. Well, that wasn't. You know, he wanted to. Yeah, but you're scaring you. We're gonna. Yeah, good. That was the whole point, dummy. You know. So he went to, at the bottom of every page on Freedoms Phoenix is my home address. You go into About Us, it's my phone number, contact, email, everything. My home address, home address. They went to an old address. Where'd they get that one? Another address associated with. They go to my son's house. I'm like, what the hell are they going to my, how did that even come, what? They just moved there. It's one of his friends from freaking junior high. He lives. It's his house anyway. I don't know how the heck they even went there. So whatever. So they go to my son's house. He's watching TV. You know, they show up. He's at, you know, he opens the door and there's freaking camera crew and the guy with a microphone shoved in his face. And he goes, hey, are you Ernest Hancock? No. Do you know him? Yeah. Is he here? No. Do you know anything about these flyers? Yeah. I've seen him before. He goes, you've been putting them in Tempe? Tempe? No. You know, we talk, he goes, look, man, you call my dad. He's on vacation. Yeah, but what can he? Goes, I don't know. What do you want me to say, man? I don't know. Whatever. And he's like, okay. So he leaves. They didn't show any of that footage. Well, my son, you know, he's not fazed by it. I mean, he grew up with this stuff. He's like, yeah, whatever. Dad's doing something again, you know, whatever it is. So he's just blow it off. And he didn't even call me. Didn't text me, nothing. So I find this out from my other son Saturday. We get back Friday night. My other son was visiting. And he goes, yeah, the crew, you know, went to, you know, Force House. And I go, really? So I called him and I go, why didn't you tell us? He goes, you're on vacation. What are you going to do? He's like, man, I went back to my movie. I don't care. I mean, that's how our family sees this stuff. They just don't care. You know, they've been through, they know it's all BS and lying and whatever and so on. You say, well, yeah, I knew you'd, you know, find out. You know, family knew, whatever. It's all good. Okay, well, next time text me or something, man. Get the guy's number to me or something, which I already have. But so it's just, you know, they just fall into this. It's so typical. But, you know, we used to put the phone numbers of the newsroom on there, too. So they, you know, all these newsrooms would be getting calls and hammered. They know. They know it. We used to even send them little flyers, you know, and packets of this stuff. All the media say, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And if you want to report this, well, they don't want to do that. That's why they weren't reporting it. They didn't want to tell our story. They didn't want to tell the truth. They want to tell it from their perspective. You know, somebody's scared. We got the police said, call. They know. You think they don't know? Heck, I get copies of it. We went in right before we distributed these. Every legislator in Arizona and every city council person in the city of Phoenix got this in a DVD about gun rights. I told them. I talked chief of staff, a different city councilman. I talked to mayors. I go, look, you guys want to play this game? You guys going to do this gun control thing? We had the first monument to the Bill of Rights out here. We got the mayor of Phoenix going about gun control. And the first monument, I guess it's dead. Now, the first money at the Bill of Rights, boom, it's dead. Politicians get up there and say, no, gun control, living, breathing document crap. Okay, dead. I get it. Thanks. You know, making a point. Here we go, directly to the people. So we had the Breakfast Club a couple weeks ago, and it was all on Second Amendment stuff. All these different groups came in there, and I'm passing them out by the thousands of the DVDs and the flyers. I didn't put a single flyer up. Didn't have to. What are you going to get me for? Printing, having a web page, accurate information. I get some calls from people. They go, and by the time they get my number and call me, they already know it's, you know, what it is. But they're mad because you gave them, you know, and I tell you who it is. It's always the Fox News guys. I got nothing to hide. Right up until they go, they went through your trash. No, they didn't. They put them on the trash cans after it's emptied, so they stay there. You come out, it's an empty trash can with an orange flyer on it. You know, I didn't recycle my trash right or something. Somebody's going to bitch about something. So they pull it and they start reading it. It's scary. Like, ooh, and I go, yeah. And all of that is true. The NDA stuff, you assigned a surveillance drone, all the different offices that are available. And they go, and the bogus Total Information Awareness Office. Well, he just showed how stupid he was. It's real. That logo is real. It was created by DARPA, the Pentagon. They changed the logo because everybody freaked out. It has this all CNI pyramid overlooking, you know, the Earth. That's how they see us. We're livestock. And I'm going, man, this is, you guys want to play? Let's play. Oh, safegunowners.org. It's right on there. AZTipHotline.info is right there. You go to the webpage, it explains exactly what's going on, why, who did it, and why. And here I am. Hello. So by the time they call me, they're just venting. They're just pissed. I don't want anybody coming to come out. Hey, didn't even get out of the car. Didn't get on your property. Didn't go up to your door. Didn't knock on your door. Didn't put a door hanger on. Didn't nothing. Public property, public trash can. It's all been adjudicated public. Why? Because law enforcement wants it public. That way, it's not private property. It set aside the trash can like they did Fernando. Well, this is what we're warning. Look, not only can they do it all the time. Made you look. I can get you to look. Made you look. Everything I do, made you look. Well, you made me look. I'm pissed I look. I know. Talk to them. They go, well, I just up. I go, I know. Do you think you should be made aware of these things? Absolutely, you should be concerned. We're just warning you. We didn't do it. They do. And every single one of them are like, yeah, oh man, damn. And I'll bet one of those guys is a reporter trying to get me to what I'd be like, tell the story. Let's go. It's rock and roll. Because it's all about Loveolution. We'll be right back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay, here we have the Loveolution logo in chrome, and right, you know, for putting on the back of your car or whatever else you want to put it back on. This was on Daily Paw. I saw it being marketed there, and I ordered it right when it first announced it, and they just came this last week when we were gone. I came back. I got 10 of these for, you know, some friends and so on, and they are adhesive, and they go on like your trunk deck lid and everything, so you can peel off all those old bumper stickers that are, you know, starting to fade and kind of what the hell. But we put these on, and I'm like, ooh, we be Loveolutionaries extraordinaire. So I'm like, I'm cool. I'm cool with that. You know, here I got, oh, see? Bunch of them. So they were, I don't know, they weren't free. They're like $15 a piece, but hey, they're worth it. Done. All right, so let me tell you what's going on. On my trip and through the years, there have been supporters of Freedom. A lot of the subscribers to the magazine, you know, people that donate, people that, you know, have resources. And yeah, and what you said, and go in peace. One less thing they got to do. Because I tell you how it works. I've been doing this for, God, what is it, like 24, 5 years? Oh, my God, since 88. What does that make it? That makes it like... it's 22 years. If I go to 10, three more years, 25. I keep saying over 20 years. It's almost like over 25 years. Damn, I'm getting old. I started young. Well, a lot of you guys, you know, out there, you're 25, an experienced activist of more than 99.6% of people anyway. You know, what happens when you're 50? How much will you know then? You know, what kind of experience, what kind of life will you? And it's like in the Patriot, Mel Gibson, he's in the Congress there in wherever it was, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever. And he's saying, hey, man, look, we don't want to fight this. Our children will learn of this war from it being amongst us. You know, it won't be out in the frontier. It won't be out in some battlefield, some land. It's going to be in between our houses. Our children will learn of it with their own eyes. Do we want to go down that road? I don't. Will it come to that? Maybe. For some people, you think there's going to be war waged in every single community, police, martial law, every single community? Don't think they don't want to. I can tell you this example. When they started doing the color coding, you remember it was red, orange, yellow, blue, green, crap, you know, or terror threat level, BS. Here in Arizona, Janet Napolitano's governor, they did, now I'm on the air... I was, I think, about 04, and I had a guy named Frank Navarrete, and he's got his own history and so on from back in the day. Anyway, he became one of the 50 guys under Ridge that was the Homeland Security representative, the governor of Arizona. I go, all right, who do you work for? Oh, the check comes from, and it has air. I am on the show. Check comes from Arizona. I go, so who do you work for the governor? Well, I kind of advise her. It's money from the federal, kind of, you know, federalize the local law enforcement, federalize the state governments, federalize, it's all federal. This whole homeland thing is about making, oh, a fear against them. They're going to get us. If you're the first or against us, and if you're against us, you're a terrorist and with and kind of whatever. And we're all, it's a happy, one big happy family on every level. So I had him on the show, and that I could see what was coming. I predicted it. And it was, they went orange. They shut down the airport. Anybody going in the Sky Harbor, everybody's trunk got searched. It was just theater like they did with Fernando. Well, it got so bad that people were like in revolt, that this is so stupid. And they go, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. And you don't have the color threat thing anymore. But what they did is he knew, and he kind of intimated, yeah, they already got a thing we're going to have a plan for, and we got to get and false flag and whatever. And they have a meeting in the phone. I go, how does it work? Is there a phone call? Does it go to you? Does it go to the governor? You go to the and try. Well, I would convince her, you know, and my job is to convince her that, well, what if she says no? What if the governor of some state says, no, we're not playing? You send them to Siberia? I mean, what do you do? Well, they do whatever they're going to do. Well, you know, purse strings. This time. I mean, you know, I saw this coming 10 years ago. So what? And we're doing Freedom Summits at the time. We saw it coming. You know, how did you not know it was coming? So what they did is they had a threat. Oh, credible threat, terrorists coming into Florida. I just came from Florida, man. Somebody wants to make it onto the beach somewhere, you're not going to stop them. I mean, you know, this drug war, it's just a big joke. So you go, all right, coming into Florida, what's the threat? Oh, it's credible threat. I go, okay, I just got to ask a question. You got red freaking neon flashing whatever. They're coming into Miami doing what? Why is Portland, Oregon under lockdown then? Why is you got red alert, orange alert, whatever in Phoenix when you got something going on in New York City? How does that happen? Why is that happen? What is it? You know, it's just a mind game. It's just, you know, because that's how, well, you know, we got, no, you don't. And because I knew this guy's history, I knew he came from the Phoenix Police Department in the early 80s. He went to Europe to do the kind of, he was Motorola and CIA and intelligence community, you know, getting tapped into what they had, AT&T, the phone company was part of the whatever. They had to do the same thing in infrastructure and lay it over on the cell towers. They knew phones were coming. This was in the mid-80s. As time goes on, okay, he did his job there. How do you get picked to be one of the 50 guys? Start Homeland Security under a new guy. Got a whole new thing. We're going, woohoo, here we go. How do you pick those guys? What's your criteria? What's your history? I tell you what, you're a ball player. I guarantee you that. Go look into my old archives. You'll see in the thing, and you go in there, and you go to the old archives for 04, I think it was, and you just look for Frank Navarette. Or you type in Homeland Security. Or you can just go online and just go Frank Navarette, Homeland Security, Ernest Hancock show come up. Interesting. Now, what did he give me? He gave me a free pass. You know, when they start shutting down all the highways, I got a free pass. He said, oh, yeah, well, Ernie, we'll let you go. It's all right. See, everybody hear that? I get to go. You don't, but I do. Nah. So don't think I don't know. I know. I get it. That's not where our power is, you know, all this stuff. We just need to survive. They're falling. They're crashing. The dollar's going to go. They're going to marrow. It's the world, though. So as this is going on, some supporters and people that have been, you know, that good friends, a lot of them are very wealthy. They make a lot of money doing a lot of different things, and one of it is information. 2 years ago, when I had my big 50th birthday party here and everything, some of the guys were here, and they were like, when we started the magazine 2 years ago, they were very angry with me because I didn't release it right. We made it available to subscription and everything, but you didn't do it right. You didn't package it right. You didn't, you know, get the subscriber right. You didn't do the kind of newslettery kind. You could have made a lot more money and become a gazillionaire and all this kind of stuff. How? Well, there's templates and how you do and the marketing and the people that we and what you got is very valuable, yada, yada, yada. So they took me, you know, in Florida, sat me down for days and we just going over all this and show me how this is, okay. But they're of the mindset that it's my age and older. It's people with money, people retiring, the baby boomers, the people that have careers that they're starting to, you know, hey, we're going to take everything out of our 401, whatever. We're going to go over here. We're going to move and expatriate and get, you know, land in other countries and passports and this and that and so on. Big market for that. I convinced them that the Lovelution needs to be included. Generation Next, that's where my focus is. And showing them demographics on Freedom's Phoenix, they were surprised that over a third of our traffic comes from people under 35. That is like unheard of in kind of the news thing and what we do. So I'm going, look, if we can include Generation Next, that they can participate financially in what we're doing and be kind of a package thing. All these newsletters you see on We're All Going to Die and, you know, read here and Google won't let you see and kind of you see on Drudge and, you know, and different Alex Jones stuff and all that kind of, you know, it's these guys. They don't want any part of it. They're just as a favor. Ernie, man, you're embarrassing us. You're so poor. Okay? So I'm like, whatever. So tell me how this works. Well, they're giving me templates and so on. We're going to do it within 6 to 8 weeks. We're going to launch a new product. And I tell you, it dovetails into everything that we've been doing already anyway. The last three editions, or this third edition coming up, has been, should we stay or should we go? And if we go, where are we going to go? And the third one, this is community. Okay, let's say it's after. What kind of community? What kind of seeds are we going to plant in the new, self-sustaining, viable future of all that we've wanted? Because it's cyclical. It's the Lovelution. It's the fourth turning. It's a, you know, all this stuff. Of course it's coming. Of course the dinosaur's coughing up blood and is going to die. They can't sustain what they're doing. When you got more people taking than giving, what do you think is going to happen? Then what? Or the then what?
Quantum Vibe.
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com from Big Head Press.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You know, I'm just, you know, they, them, those, man. Oh, they're not going to leave me alone. So, yeah, we just, we just go over somewhere else over here. And they won't leave you alone there. And you make fun of that. They got to pay. Yeah, they got to pay. They got to pay. They got to pay in other ways. You know, I'm very much, I'm willing to take some hits. Now, I've been arrested several times, convicted, never convicted. But, you know, they always, you know, just I know how they operate. They don't know any different. It's all force. You know, it's one thing I wanted to get clear from James. You know, it wouldn't surprise me either way, but I'm like, okay, are these officers doing all this stuff and thou shalt and respect my authority and tapping on the window and you got and you can't and you always and whatever? Are these older guys? Are they, I just came back from Iraq, Afghanistan, and I'd just soon, you know, shoot you in the face, people? It's more like that. But there's also a counter to that. There are people, you know, that kind of know their sense of just, they know they've been lied to. How many of them are there? That's what they're afraid of. This guy Dorner in LAPD, that was a wake-up call for him. There's some of these guys, once they start, and they got skills. You know, what happened? They really go on the rampage. You saw what happened to them. It sent them into freaking tizzy, man. You know, do I want to be in the middle of that? Hell, I'm just driving my car and he just lighted up because it was the same color. I mean, you know, this is, I mean, you know, what good is that? Now, can we just, you know, be off, away, and do and kind of whatever? So that's what we're doing. We're going to start. It's going to be a subscription newsletter, but it's going to be, man, if you didn't see it, ubiquitous across the freaking internet, it on every single webpage you go, dude, man, I did it wrong. Here we go. We're prepping it. And we're going to do it the way these guys have experience in this, how they launch these things and make gazillions of dollars. I'm talking millions. Because there's a demand for this. And they are very impressed with Freedom's Phoenix and the community and the Levolution and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, look, the archive, all the different categories that we do, all the activism that we do, all of the things like, you know, the magazine, how we focus on detailing of got, chick, 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 kids. I mean, you know, that guy. Oh, coyote taking out six of my chickens while I was gone here, man. The coyote, you know what? One of the things that we're going to be doing, I'll take out a coyote in the city. You know, because this is, I mean, he's in the crosshairs now. I've lost probably a dozen chickens over the last couple of years, have one or many or whatever. So we looked at, all right, here we go. Now I got to do a trap and this, that, because you can't just shoot them. And I want to sit out there. I go, hey, man, I got big brain box. I win. Here's a trap I built, done there. Get all the details, but this is the kind of things that they want. It'll be 8 to 20 page newsletter kind of deal, along with a bunch of other access, different things. We'll include the magazine, everything, but it's going to be the club. And the only club is like, you know, hey, man, you paid for us to do all this stuff and everything, and we survive. We're going to have, you know, build aquaponic stuff, do different structures, geodetic, everything that we've done in the past, we're going to do in detail, and it's going to be good information in addition to the communities that we're going to start. Now, I'm not going to give out names. There's a, because then everybody go buy it. And I got meetings with people in different towns around Arizona over the next 2 weeks. I'll be, you know, one day we may do reruns at the end of the week, one day or so, but it'd be worth it. And I might be doing it remote. I'm going to try, and since I've been off this last week, we're going to try and get a place that we can do it remote from the towns. And we're going to be visiting some different places here in Arizona where there is flowing water. I found that is a big thing. We went to Remus Mountain School up there and everything. He does 20,000 gallons a day to be able to, you know, water his orchards and farm and have a nice little oasis there. I go, damn, well, that narrows it down in Arizona. So I go, but I do know some places. So I'm going, all right, we're going to go there. Some of them are isolated. Greg Tibnan lives in Missouri. Lots of cheap farms. I mean, it's like, you know, 20, 30 acres for $50,000 kind of stuff with a farmhouse. I mean, these guys are out in the middle of nothing. They don't have the things that they see as a detriment is what we see as an advantage. So we go, okay, you know, get us the property that there. Then Texas. You know, we start having to where we're going to start being able to pay some of our writers. This is going to be a serious, we will survive effort. And my thing is it's going to be, until we get this all ready and done, it is going to be of enormous value. People pay hundreds of dollars a year, just or even a month, to be on these various different newsletters. They are going to go, look, Ernie, we have a big giant gap here that we don't have. And you can fill it. We want you to fill it. We want to help make sure you do that because we see the market. We see, and you already got it. Let's do it. Rock and roll, whatnot. Okay, what's your financial cut? None. We got enough. We're good. You know, we want to help the Lovelution. So Freems Phoenix and me and friends of and all that kind of stuff. But I said, look, man, I'm good. You know, but how can I help the Lovelution? Not only them be able to get this information, some way we can fund it, because that's always one thing, libertarians and our activist stuff, how you ever fund it, you never monetize anything. So I'm going, all right. We can do this, but I want to make sure all these different groups, and I'm talking to different leaders in the community, you know who they are, the web pages that they have. How can we frame this in such a way that in the initial launch, they make lots of money too, and it be of service to everybody? I'm very open about this. You know, I'm like, look, man, I don't have any aversion. I'm a free market capitalist kind of guy, but I'm not, you know, just, you know, fear, fear, fear. It's fear. They go, yes, it's fear. But Ernie, man, I go, yeah, nope. It's time, you know, for them to be, you know, relatively concerned and offer solutions, detailed, actionable things to do now. There are a lot of these. A lot of them are, you know, put your money here, move here, get this, get out, whatever. But a lot of people aren't leaving. And that became very obvious to me in two editions ago of the magazine. When we did it, stay or go is mostly stay. Big support, everybody stay. Next one, I go, okay, where would we go to? They thought I meant, you know, like out of the country or whatever. Not a single author responded. Nobody wanted to do it. Now, we had plenty of back material, and we talked to other people, and we had some people write, and we had a good edition, you know, of the magazine this last month. But I tell you what it told me. It was amazing to me. And if they did know where they were going, they sure as hell didn't want to tell anybody, okay? So we are going to create communities that's not, you know, some in charge, Glenn Beck, I'm the libertarian leader now, crap, you know. I've seen a lot. Ooh, come over here and be in my hippie commune or fascist commune or whatever commune, okay? That's not what it's going to be about. It's just communities where we go. What are they doing something like this? Well, it's like Free State or Keene or something like that. I advocate being west of the Mississippi. You go east of Mississippi, you get what you get, okay, in my opinion, you know. But, you know, of course, they're participating. I talked to Ian about it. We'll use the resources of that and make sure they get their input and have a say and so on. But Missouri, Texas, Arizona. Now, of course, we have people have moved from here. Lovelutionaries have just moved last couple weeks, moved up to Kalispell, Montana. They get to have a say. It's not a place. This is one thing that Clara Wolf made a big deal when they first started the Free State Project, and we did publish articles and so on in our old newspapers and so on. She goes, it's cyber community. It's a state of mind. It's an attitude. It's, you know, it's surviving in place. It's understanding what you don't need to be out and doing political and whatever. You just need to keep breathing in and out longer than the bad guys. They're going to fall. They're coughing up blood, dying dinosaur. Excuse me. Ugh, I had to say that button and it won't come undone sometimes. Okay, now I'm going dying dinosaurs. Okay, they're just, you know, coughing up blood, waving their tail, gnashing their teeth, whatever. Just, you know, hey man, I'm over here. Well, they'll go, we want your goodies there too. We GPS'd your grain silo. We got it. See, any collectivism makes you vulnerable. There's no central plan for freedom, but there is an understanding that there's no central plan for freedom, and we can have information that's actionable, places to go, things to do, things that you need. I mean, simple stuff, you know, bug out bags, you know, bug out barrels, you know, where do you go? What are you going to need? What are you going to do? How many people you got? I mean, there's a lot of this information on there. We're going to consolidate this. I insist that you breathe in and out longer than the bad guys. That's all I care about right now. What do I need to do? All these people are going, Ernie, did you know? Look at how they're really, really, really bad. Seriously, I got to add another really? You know, I'm going, you know, freedom good, government bad. Then it became freedom good, government bad, bad, bad. I got up to 7 bads. I had to keep, you know, this would happen. This would, I go freedom good, government bad, 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 7. I got to start over again. Freedom good, government bad. You know, I get it. I want to avoid it. I want to survive it. I don't want to, you know, confront it. I just want to be away from it. I want to survive it. I want to be the next turning. We are going to be able to survive. I guarantee. I know I and my family are. These people know that we are. They want to support and to make sure that you do. And I have been negotiating to make sure that the freedom community financially benefit from this and we all survive. This is very important to me. And I know it's going to be important to you. We're going to be talking more about it. The launch, 6 to 8 weeks. You watch. Big, huge. Here we go.